Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends and my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Pipe, you have had a great week, my friend, in that you got engaged, which is a thing that you texted me an announcement about and then put on social media for everyone else. Why don't you tell us a little bit about getting engaged, but also the politics of how you share these things and who you share them with and how your Luddite friend who's not on technology creates more work for you. But suffice it to say, Piper, that we here at Happy Rant Corporate, at the Happy Rant Media Empire, we're very happy for you. Couldn't be more thrilled for you, my friend, and we're eager to hear about it.
Yeah, I anticipate like a fruit basket or something from Happy Rant Corporate to celebrate this occasion.
Some sort of impersonal.
Yeah, something impersonal and useless as a corporate gift to celebrate this momentous occasion.
On Harry and David right now, Pipe. Don't worry about it.
I like the fruit that is shaped like bouquets. So why did I forget? The edible arrangement. That's the one I'm going for. So
impersonal and useless, just like this program.
You know, got to keep it consistent.
Got to stay on.
Right. So, yeah, last Saturday I got engaged, which was very exciting and still is very exciting, actually. And then came the very tenuous and tricky process of figuring out who needs to know what, when, and by what communication source. Mm-hmm. So obviously social media post comes last because that goes out to all the people you don't really know, but you would like the world to know that this thing happened. So
for
then
sure.
Who do you call? Who do you have there in person? You know, if they're in town, who do you text? You know, is that too impersonal? Who do you fax? Who do you mail?
Dude,
a card
I like
to?
Faxing. Yeah.
Well,
old
in,
school.
In those moments, I was extremely jealous of your Luddite existence, Ted, because I was like, this would be a lot simpler if there was only really two ways to communicate with people. It's either text or phone call, you know?
Yeah.
But instead I have to figure out all these things. So yeah, there was obviously immediate family needs to know. And you kind of gauge that by how close you are to them. So Lauren, who is now my fiance, FaceTimed and called her immediate family because they're very close. I talked to my parents on the phone and then texted my brothers because that's how we roll. And then there was certain friends who needed to be texted. And then she had trouble getting a hold of a couple of friends because they were sick or out of town or something. So we had to hold off on anything public until then. So that they wouldn't feel slighted by finding out not directly from her. So these are things you have to consider now. And then we get to move into the like putting together a wedding guest list. And that's a whole other list of who are my real friends and who are not my real friends. Apparently, that's what it feels like. It's basically like grading your friends. You're like, you're an A+ friend.
Absolutely.
You're definitely invited. You're a C- friend. Well, and then there's the, you know, you were an A+ friend 8 years ago, but we don't really talk anymore. Are you still an A+ friend or does time change that? It gets very complicated.
Dude, it's incredibly complicated, and technology has only made it more so and created more work. So, like, I'm actually heading out of town tomorrow morning to be in a student's wedding, a former student. So I'm a groomsman. I'll be the only one who isn't young and sleek and handsome, which is a little stressful. But like the whole wedding website thing is a thing now, and you know you got to put all the pictures up there. Are you guys going to do a wedding website, Piper?
I probably purely for the convenience of RSVPing, and that's the easiest place to put up like a gift registry or something. You know, it's just easier to do it that way. I am diametrically, antithetically, and utterly opposed to like the wedding hashtag.
That was my next question.
So day of getting engaged. So before anything had been posted anywhere, I start getting ads in my social media feeds for all things wedding services. One of them was, we can create a custom wedding hashtag for you. And I thought, A, that's ridiculous because I can come up with my own hashtags. I'm capable of this. And B, I will never use a wedding hashtag. I refuse. I'm not sure that Lauren and I are of one accord on that, however. So that may be a point of discussion that we need to work out. But yeah, there's a lot of crazy in the wedding universe, and it Now, it needs to be navigated carefully so as not to turn what should be a great event into a terrible one.
Oh, absolutely. So in that vein, I have a question about venue, and I have a question about like who's going to officiate the wedding, because you have, I mean, it's no secret. You have two extremely prominent, famous pastor authors in your life, in that you have your dad on one hand, and on the other hand, you have Ron Martin. So I'm sure you and Lauren stayed up hours kind of debating who's going to officiate the wedding, in terms of will it be Ronald or will it be John Piper? Can you share anything on that level yet, or is it too soon?
Well, it's not too soon on that front. And, this may be really devastating to Ron, but honestly, what answered that question was much more pragmatic.
Was Ron's conference schedule.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's going to be unavailable.
I just wasn't confident he would be able to make it at all.
right.
No, it was just pragmatism. We were planning to get married in Tennessee, and neither John Piper nor Ronald J. Martin are licensed ministers in Tennessee. So just for the sake of not creating extra work for all parties involved, we're going to go with someone local.
So
like somebody who's a pastor at a church we actually attend, for example.
Or could it be me? Could I like officiate the wedding in my classroom, like a ship's captain? You know, that could be on the table.
You could, let's see, what could you do? I don't know if you're licensed by the state. You could officiate all the way to the point of I declare you, you know, by the power invested in me, by, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That line. You could probably get all the way up to that point.
Yeah, something to think about.
Consider a thought about.
Big celebrity weddings. You know, I get it. Get a local guy in TN. You know, you don't need to make a big thing out of this.
I'm trying to kind of follow in the footsteps of Kanye, where you pick the local guy and then sort of raise the water level for that person, you know?
Yeah, you start bringing me and John Piper in, and now, man, you know, the wedding just doubled in price. Got a lot of paparazzi. You got a lot of people coming in. You got a lot of photographers. I mean, you know, we got to do a live, you know, happy rant, you know, podcast probably during the reception. I mean, all that stuff's going to have to happen, and that's a lot of headache for you. I get it,
Ronald. I've got an idea. What if you had Dave Ramsey do the ceremony, and it would look like the party scene in The Great Gatsby?
That would be amazing. I'll show up to that wedding.
Would people come with envelopes of cash? Because if the answer to that is yes, I'm totally down with that idea.
Oh, yeah, man. Your gift table would just be like a gigantic mountain of envelopes.
It would look like the scenes in Scarface where it's like piles of cocaine, piles of cash.
Exactly.
Hopefully
your gift table would be AKA bank vault pipe. I mean, let's be honest, bank vault with envelopes, but I mean, yeah, it would be amazing.
So you would say hello to my little friend, and instead of a machine gun, it would be an envelope full of cash. Would be your little friend.
Or like that's you say that and then like pop the cork on the champagne or something. I don't know.
I like it. Yeah,
there's options here. Maybe wedding planning is the side business we've been looking for.
Ooh, I like it, Piper. Happy Rant wedding planners. This is
I only do that every time I do a wedding, boys, just so you know. It's the wedding planning seems to go. They don't seem to hire wedding planners anymore. It's just like, hey, what do we do? And so if you're the pastor, it seems like you just end up planning the wedding now. That just seems to be how it
goes. I'm inclined to lean on the pastor for the ceremony part, like the order of events. But in terms of like what you want to happen for, you know, what are the key pieces, who are the key people, whatever, I feel like that should probably be up to the people getting married. And you're saying people don't usually take that responsibility on?
There's been like a weird trend, man. It feels like in the last few years where they come to you and they're just like, it feels like in the past, it was like they had everything down to like the last, you know, like just minute detail, which kind of was annoying because it's like, well, hold on, we should talk about this. And you might not want to do that. And you might want to do this. And now it's like they come in and it's like, just tell us what to do. We don't care. Whatever you say we should do, we'll do. And it's like, well, yeah, but now you're asking me just to plan your whole wedding. And I don't know that I have the time to be the, you know, the wedding planner. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I feel like it's gone full circle in some weird way. Maybe it's just where I'm at. Maybe it's a cultural thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing, though.
Ron, I have a question about that. Do they write their own vows anymore? Is that still a thing? Because
yeah,
it was a thing in the 90s.
Yeah, we just, so as a church, I just don't let anyone do that.
That's probably a great idea.
I just shut that down because I've had a couple people say, so we have our own vows. And I said, yeah, except for I'm going to give you them instead. And so I just hand them their vows. I say, these are just better.
You're saving them from themselves is what you're
doing. I am.
And everybody there.
And you're not going to like say the, you know, you're not going to have the all, and I promise to keep the toilet seat down and to put the, you know, the toothpaste cap, you know, all the like silly goofiness that gets.
Sure.
Inserted in there. So, we just save from later pain.
I think so. All right, this brings up a very good point. As you know, we're on the very front end of planning this stuff. I'd like to avoid landmines.
Yeah.
What are the things, Ron, that you're like absolutely under no circumstances ever do this at a wedding? I feel like you've done enough of these. You've been around enough of these. You have some observations and opinions that I would benefit from. So what is the no-fly zone for weddings and receptions? Like, please, for the love of God, do not do this.
Yeah, no, I think, man, I think the main thing for the actual wedding is, you know, make sure the vows are, you know, are legit. There's some depth there. Make sure that you try not to write them yourself because they could be, I mean, you're a writer, Pipe, you probably do a great job at it, but for a lot of people, it's just not a great idea. So get something that's already in place or something that the church already uses. And then there's kind of that continuity as well. The other thing too, is just like, don't, you know, when people sit down for a ceremony, you know, there's a lot of things that happen before you get to the actual, you know, like exchanging of vows. And I feel like that can become so like, you know, that can become, I mean, you're an hour into this thing and you haven't even gotten to the vow. So I think time is like of major importance
in keeping these things down. I think we're shooting for a ceremony of like 15 to 30 minutes.
That's what it is. That's the sweet spot. So a 20-minute ceremony where you really just get to the vows and maybe you do something meaningful to attach, you know, the beginning and the end together. Maybe there's a song, maybe not a song. I'm okay if there's no music in the middle of it, but depending on what you want to do, something that lacks sentimentality, I think, is really important and, you know, kind of takes away some of the awkwardness that can happen, you know, during a ceremony. So yeah, just, I think those are some of the things, you know, just keep it very streamlined.
Maybe now here's a trend I've noticed in our church, which is crazy. So as you guys know, and as I've talked about ad nauseum, our church does a very long service per like Reformed culture, but our weddings are the exact opposite. Like the weddings at our churches, if you like look down at your phone, you'll miss them. They're so fast. And it's amazing. I love it so much. So in the same way that we like, you know, pray during every pause in the sermon or in the service during our normal liturgy, and we do like 14 songs, we hardly do anything in the weddings. It's amazing.
Are you wishing it would be a little more balanced?
No, I'm not. I love it.
You're stoked.
Like, yeah, I love it. I love the fact that you show up for a wedding at our church and like 12 minutes later, it's over. And the kids are married and you're off to the reception, man. It's just really efficient that way. It's really nice.
Guys, I'll tell you what, man, I broke some records last year. I think I did an 11 minute ceremony.
Wow.
Because this couple was like, we don't want music. We don't want any, we literally just want to walk up, do the vows and like pronounce as husband and wife. And we want to get to the reception as soon as possible. And I was like, man, I cannot tell you the love that is like overflowing right now in my heart for you guys. Not only
in the hearts of everyone at the wedding too. Like everybody's
100%. It was
inclined
awesome.
To celebrate you if you don't waste their time.
Nobody was sad, right? So I've done two under 15-minute wedding or three under 15-minute weddings. I've never had anyone come up and go, you know, that was just too short, Ronnie.
Exactly, Ron. We're really concerned about how short.
We really missed the best friend doing special music.
Yeah, we really hate losing our whole day. You know?
Exactly.
Therein lies a potential pitfall for all Nashville weddings, which is that everybody knows musicians, and so the risk of, you know, way overdoing my friend is going to perform whatever song is real high, you know, whereas in Ohio, maybe that's less of a big deal. I know growing up in Minnesota, it just wasn't a big deal. Like you would maybe sing hymns or whatever, which I also think probably shouldn't be done in a wedding, but,
Pipe, I mean, one song, you know, I don't think one song in the middle you know, is like not necessarily that big of a deal. And it doesn't really add that much time. You can also do it on the front end. There's just so, there's like no rules as far as I'm concerned, man. You can, you just design this thing, you know, however you want. But I think as long as you're not like just dragging things out and right. you're adding like seven different movements to the whole ceremony.
See, the one rule that I have is we're here to celebrate something, and anything that makes it feel not like a celebration doesn't have any place. So that doesn't mean like you're, it's like a wild party, but everything needs to be, we are here to have a really good time around a really great event. So the ceremony cannot be drudgery. Otherwise you've ruined
it.
You can't make people wait for like an hour and a half before the reception while you go off and take pictures, because that ruins it for them. The food has to be good. Yeah. The drinks have to be good. The music has to be good. Like everything has to be good, or it's not a great celebration.
And that would be the only thing I would add, boys, is try to do the photos before everything kicks off. And then number two, Pipe, for the sake of your life and marriage, I mean, if your woman has something that she dreamed of having in the ceremony her whole life, you know what? That's when you just go, sure.
Absolutely. Oh, well, there it is.
So, yeah, that is a significant element in this. Obviously, I've had a wedding before, and so there's a very different encounter for me coming into this than for her. She's never been married. Where there are things that are probably more significant and special to her in this than feel that way to me. So yeah, there's definitely, okay, that's important to you. We'll do that. And that's fine. But we're generally of the same mind when it comes to like, let's get this show on the road and then let's get to the reception fun party part of it. And also let's not give microphones to too many groomsmen or bridesmaids, because that's stupid.
No, don't do that, dude. Yeah, don't do that.
In fact, just don't even have a sound system.
Yeah, you can't give a mic to the general public. That always goes badly.
Also, in order to keep the ceremony 15 to 30 minutes, you don't give a mic to John Piper, because that man has never preached under 30 minutes in his life. So,
yeah, that's
like a
true.
Wedding homily for him is the same as a T4G sermon. So,
absolutely. You know,
that just doesn't have a place.
It's a chance to preach. We're going 45 minutes. Piper, let's talk about venue, because you sent us a really interesting tweet, and you sent it, it ostensibly is just grist for the show, a topic for the program. This is a tweet by some guy. Was he anybody or just some dude?
No, a listener passed it along, and just with the comment, hey, I feel like you guys might want to riff on this. And given the subject matter and timeliness, I said, yeah, I think I do want to riff on that.
Yeah. So this one, I'm just going to read it verbatim, and keep in mind, there's a lot of exclamation points in here. So as you're listening, just kind of insert those on your own. Here's the tweet. It says, if you're a Christian, then I plead, I beg, I exhort you. Do not get married in a refurbished, shiplapped barn that you will never set foot in again. Get married, all caps here, in a church, your church. And that's the end of the tweet. So
what if
this
your
guy's,
church is a shiplapped?
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Ronald, your church is a shiplapped barn.
Shoot, man. I mean, you're not getting married. I mean, you got to go out of the state then for weddings if you're part of us, you know.
Oh,
shoot.
Kidding. Yeah, you got to go all the way out of your church planning network to find a non-shiplapped barn. I mean, that's in your doctoral statement. I will have church in a shiplapped barn. So, yeah, there's a lot of shiplapped barn churches out there now. So what do you make of this? And what he's saying is don't get married in a wedding venue, like a Noah's Events venue, which turned out to be a...
like some sort of a Ponzi scheme or something.
Yeah,
what were they?
Ponzi scheme, some kind of shell corporation with offshore bank accounts. But I don't know. What do you guys make of this? Pipe, you're getting married. What do you think?
Well, I mean, my first thought when I read that was my church is ugly. Like,
yeah.
And it doesn't have a center aisle. You know, so it's... the doors are like at the corners. It's sort of like a crescent moon-shaped worship auditorium, sanctuary, whatever you call it. So just logistically, it doesn't work very well. And I get what he's saying from a, like, you should be married. Like, marriage is an under the church, like, you're kind of marrying into the body of Christ aspect of things. Like, it's a very communal thing. I'm not sure that that the building makes a crap ton of difference with that. especially because my guess is this guy would also say something to the effect of the building is not the church, the people are the church, in which case, what the Hades difference does it make what building you get married in?
Exactly.
My guess is his grandparents probably had like a courthouse wedding or like were married on the deck of a ship while his grandpa was coming back from World War II or something. Like,
and they probably stayed married for like 84 years and were happy.
It's a shame they didn't get married in a church. Farmer things didn't work out for him.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just – there's a lot of merit in moving away from feeling like you need the Instagram perfect wedding, you know, where everything has to be – just so, and you're essentially the wedding is for the photographs, which is an easy mentality to get into.
Yeah.
But he seems to be attaching some sort of moral significance to the location of a wedding, and I'm not sure that has any basis in reality or the Bible.
Here's my issue. If you take shiplapped barns out of the evangelical world, like, where will white people do anything? You know what I mean? Like, you're pulling one of the pillars of, like, our whole lifestyle out of that.
Yeah, it looks like we're back to, like, the exposed brick beam warehouse vibe instead of the shiplap barns.
Of the early 2000s. Yeah, I know. You take away shiplap barns, we're back in the warehouse, you know. And nobody wants that. You know, we're all industrial, like, you know, steampunk again, and it's, like, 2004. So, Ronald, anything to add on this topic?
No, I think Pipe summed it up, man.
Ronnie, have you done weddings in barns?
Yes.
How many-ish?
Probably a few, yeah, because that's kind of a thing now. So especially in Ohio, because it's kind of barn culture, it's farm culture. So a lot of people, what they've done is, since they don't really use their barns for farming anymore, they restore them and they turn them into event venues.
Yeah. And,
dude, I'm telling you, like some of these – like one that I did last year, it was amazing, man. I mean, how they restored this barn. I mean, like anybody would want to do their wedding. I mean, I just want to live there. I just want to hang out there all the time. It was so amazing. So yeah, I mean, some of these places can be really, I don't know, they're really, they're beautiful and they have a great vibe to it, you know? And so, I mean, depending how you grew up too, you know, like doing a wedding in a church, it cannot be good vibes for some people as well. You know what I mean? It can evoke strange memories. And I think our friend was trying to make kind of a theological statement, you know, which I understand, like you said, but at the same time, I don't see how we can draw the lines, you know, to make kind of draw the lines too short on this one. It just feels a little ridiculous.
Just practically speaking, and this is taking a great risk because I will probably be throwing stones at a lot of listeners and people in my family, but whatever. Doing a church wedding means you have to do one of two things. You either make people relocate to the reception, which is a pain, and going back to my previous point of let's try not to make things a pain for attendees, or you do the reception at the church, which is lame. So it's the church wedding thing is, it's not, I mean, I'm not opposed to doing it at the church, but you are sort of making a, like, we're going to have to add additional steps or an additional venue, or we're going to have a very sort of subdued, not party-ish, reception, which I'm not in favor of. So yeah,
unless you have a church like we do, and then it's like it's better for the reception than the church. So you're kind of doing it at our church to, number one, be at a church, but then kind of put more of an emphasis on the reception.
That's true. But so, you have sort, don't you have like a you have like the refurbed warehouse thing going on? So like you have an Instagram ready building.
We do, with plenty of shiplap, too. Yes. With plenty of shiplap.
Man, it's like the best of all worlds for white people.
It's the best of all worlds.
Well, Ronald has allayed all the concerns, Pipe. You know?
I feel better now. Yeah, I feel way better. Yeah. I feel like maybe I should actually get married at his church because that would solve a lot of problems. He wouldn't have to license anywhere else. It would cut down on the guest list because nobody wants to go to Ohio.
Thanks.
It'd be great.
Appreciate it.
Isn't shiplap one of Mark Dever's 9 marks of a healthy church? I mean, I feel like that was in there, and I feel like
one of Magnolia's 9 marks for a healthy.
Yeah, he's allayed a lot of concerns. I mean, exposed brick and shiplap. I feel like you found the perfect church.
It's Chip and Joanna Gaines, nine marks for a healthy home.
Yeah, Chip and Joanna Gaines. I love it. They can officiate the wedding, too. I mean, that's an option. Boys, speaking of controversial things, our friends at the Babylon Bee. And when I say our friends, the people we don't know at all who run the Babylon Bee have taken some heat. They took some heat this week. Some mainstream media heat because a post that they put up, a satirical post about the Democratic Party flying the flag at half mast for the Iranian guy that we killed last week. Apparently that was shared
also, to
around.
To be clear, when you say we, you don't mean the three of us.
Not the show. Yeah. Not we at the Happy Rant. The United States. But
thanks for clearing that up, boys.
No, that's just good radio, but though. That's good.
Great. People get very heated about this, and I would rather not, you know, if I'm going to take heat, I'd rather have it for saying that church wedding receptions are lame than for being blamed for killing an Iranian terrorist. So
absolutely. So the Babylon Bee ran with this article, and it got shared all over the place, ostensibly with people thinking it was real. Was that part of the controversy, Pipe?
It started to get shared around. So they tweet their headlines or post their headlines, which is all you ever need to read is the headline. The article's never very funny. And so it started getting reposted as real because people don't understand satire. And so it was like hundreds of thousands of shares and views and stuff, which is great for their traffic and terrible for what it indicates about everybody's intellect.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So as I say this, now that I'm like two thirds of the way through teeing up this topic, I don't know that I have anything to say about it. Piper, when we kind of texted back and forth about this, you indicated that you missed the funny Babylon Bee. Do you have anything to say about that? Or is this just kind of a non-topic?
Only that they used to understand sort of the how to sort of poke fun, kind of like what we do where we poke fun inside the tribe or like at tribes from they like, hey, we're all Christians and this is goofy stuff that Christians do. Now they've basically, it leans heavy on political humor and it just seems to like lean into the anger that people already have, which is why something like this goes viral because, you know, you get a bunch of like brains turned off right wing angry folks who look at this and they're like, see, you know, the DNC, this, and it, I don't know. I think it's sort of lost the benefit that it had in terms of helping us laugh at ourselves and has moved into a just, oh good, it's another site that's just making people pissed off at each other.
Yeah. There's no humor in politics. That went away like 20 years ago, I think, at some point during our childhoods. Ronald, anything to add on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest tragedy of the Bee is that it's not funny. And so I think, you know, it just sounds like they do things to get hits and traffic now. And stuff like that's going to get them a lot of hits and a lot of traffic. Mm-hmm. And that just seems to be their emphasis because they pander to now a particular group of people. That's exactly what Pipe just said. They're going to be like, yeah. And because again, if they were doing legitimately funny, witty, satirical, intelligent humor, I mean, they wouldn't be in the press right now. That's for sure. You know what I mean? But they'd be something useful. I think, like what Pipe just said, for people like us that are saying, "Hey, a lot of ridiculous things that go on within our tribe that we should not take as seriously as we do. Let's poke fun a little bit at it. It's all pretty innocent at the end of the day." But it kind of makes a point. It also can even like, you know, it can also even further some good conversations occasionally. And because I remember in the early days, man, the Bee every once in a while would come out with something and you'd be like, oh, my gosh, that is so brilliant. I never thought of it that way. Like, what a great take on that. And you don't see that anymore.
And probably once a month for their first during the overlap of their first couple of years in this show, probably once a month, we would get hit up on social media by somebody who would share one of their headlines. And they would have done a very similar joke to a bit that we did. And so I was in touch with the guy who ran the site at the time. He doesn't anymore. And he was just constantly like, I promise, we're not stealing jokes. It's just – so there was a – of course we liked them because there was a real similar sensibility in terms of who to riff on, what's funny, what are the goofy things that Matt Chandler is doing or, you know – Jen Hatmaker or whoever. And now, yeah, it's just, it leans so heavily into pandering to Republican right-wing people. And so last time we did a bit on why Babylon Bee wasn't funny anymore. I think we called it like Rest in Peace Babylon Bee or something. I heard from some people who were like, well, I love their stuff. And I was like, well, now I know your political party. Like there's, it's just firmly there. And it's such a bummer because they did, if they even just went the direction that like The Onion is, where they will satirize anything, you know? So,
and that's what they originally did. Right. I mean, they were just an evangelical Onion when they first came out.
And, sure. And they were really good at it. Like they had a bunch of contributors and some really funny stuff. And, you know, like The Onion will satirize everything from like an old person leaving their blinker on to they have a running bit on Donald Trump's sons, which never ceases to make me laugh, you know, basically treating them like they're grown up 8-year olds and to a college student's laundry habits to kind of whatever. And every time you look at it, you're like, I know that situation. And sometimes they almost get you with how good their headlines are. You think it's real. So, yeah, but the Bee has just sort of lost that. It's like they have one lane and they're just going to hammer that set of jokes.
Do you think they're making more money now than they used to? Like pandering to that one lane?
Probably. I mean, it's like we were talking about with Christianity Today last episode, where it is really hard. The easiest way to be successful is to find a tribe and just kind of blow up in that area. And like they found one and it's big and it's the right, it's just timely in terms of what's effective. People are divided. People are afraid. People hate the other political party. So if you can pander to that, you're going to make some coin off of it.
Well, not really. I mean, it mirrors what's happening in the traditional mainstream media too. I mean, that's just the environment that we're in, for sure. But, speaking of making money, Piper, and speaking of not pandering, but partnering with an organization that we really like. Tell us about Dwell Bible.
Yeah, it is a good time of year, listeners, to sign up for Dwell Bible. It's an audio Bible app, so it's still early enough in the year that if you have decided you want to either get through the Bible in a year or be more dedicated to the Word or memorize more this year, kind of whatever your Bible engagement goals are this year, Dwell is great for helping you out. They have listen through the Bible in a year plans. They also have thematic plans and some different things. So basically just different things that are already structured to help you listen to the Bible, along with a whole variety of other features to help you memorize, help you study. They have different narrators and music. So you can kind of create a Bible listening environment that suits you if you want it very steady and quiet, or if you want something a little bit more energetic. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, they're also offering a 33% discount to our listeners. So it's just their standard Happy Rant discount. You can feel free to share this with whoever too. So 33% discount, which takes it from between $2 and $3 per month to between $1 and $2 per month for access to this. And you pay for a full year. So it's about $20 for a full year. And that's, you know, that's very affordable. And they're continually upgrading this thing. It's not just a static thing that you have access to. You will be granted new features. They're constantly developing the technology, bringing in new narrators, etc. So again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. Check out the discount. You can go explore their site. this is something that, speaking of Matt Chandler earlier, Chandler has promoted and spoken highly of and pushed it to the Village Church. So this is something that they use regularly. It's something that I'm about to share with our staff at Emmanuel in Nashville, just because I think having access to it is super helpful. So it's a great tool. So again, dwellapp.io/happyrant, get your discount and sign up.
Well done, Pipe. Thanks for that. Ronald, you know, something occurred to me as Pipe was talking.
Yeah.
And I could very easily Google image it here in my studio, but I don't know for the life of me if I would know what shiplap was. Like, could you like snap a picture of how you utilize the shiplap in your church and text it to me in Pipe, and maybe we can put it online, because I feel like with shiplap, it starts with education, really, and it starts with getting the word out and just starting the conversation. So
yeah, for sure. And I think that's really
I wanna,
important. I think
it's important
about,
too. I just think if we can't be open as a church about our shiplap, then we can't move forward. So if you would just text that out to us, and that way Pipe and I can enter into the shiplap conversation with you, and maybe with our listeners too. I feel like that would be really helpful.
Well, I'm doing that right now. If you want to check your phone, just to give you something to
I
appreciate you asking that, Ted, because I was like 85% sure I knew I was using the term correctly. But I needed confirmation that what I was picturing in my mind was actually shiplap and not, you know, some other form of interior design that I'm unfamiliar with. So,
yeah,
there's one example, boys, I just sent over.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Got
it. Is that from your church? That little, that nook right there?
That's not. No, it's not. Okay. I don't have anything offhand. Here's another one, just to keep you in the, know, boys, because you know, you need to be in the know.
If that was from your church, I was going to ask why you have empty frames hanging above chairs, but that makes more sense that it's not actually. It's just a design piece.
And it can be like different. It can be like, so I'm sending you all like white shiplap. It can be like different colors. So it can be like wood color or like gray, or it can look like real vintage and old.
So
and
was the movement of this from like the reclaimed barn wood to this is like the classed up version of that, basically, you know?
No, man, it literally is Magnolia. I mean, like Chip and Joanna literally brought shiplap back into being like what everybody wants their houses to be, you know, designed on the inside. Mm-hmm. From the inside
I'm
out.
Seeing a lot of it down here, man. When I go to like friends' houses, you get the shiplap, and sometimes they have like the sliding barn door somewhere in their house.
Yeah, that's part of it. It's a shiplap world. We live in a shiplap world.
Shiplap
now,
so is like,
dude. You know what else they have? They have like cabinetry that's like not there anymore. So like instead of cabinetry, you just have like a plank and some like bars that it sits on, and then you just put plates on that. Have you seen that, Ron?
Yeah, we have that. It's like exposed, right? So instead of like kind of like, you know, putting your like your dishes, you know, like put the, you know, instead of in an enclosure, you know, or in cabinets, you just do like you do everything exposed. So exposed dishes, have all of your you know, your tableware be exposed now.
And it's all out there. That way you can talk about it. There's openness.
Yeah, we do. We expose all of our cups. And our,
nothing's hidden.
Nothing's hidden.
Nothing.
We're not trying to say something is that isn't anymore.
You've put dozens of cabinetry guys in the Ashland area out of business, but you know, hey, nothing's hidden.
I mean, we needed them to tear down the cabinets, and then I needed them to build exposed shelves because I don't do anything. So
exactly.
I feel like shiplap is sort of the pimento cheese of decoration, where it's a thing that people have turned into something fancy that has this has been around for. Ever as like just a basic culture. Thing that people can like slap together to put together a home, which is the same thing that people have done for decades with pimento cheese and like sandwiches, but now it's on every hipster menu as something special.
Yeah,
that's an
interesting
tie-in pipe. That's good. That's an interesting.
Yeah, pimento cheese used to be just like the standard, you know, dirt bag picnic item down here, and now it's all high end.
But that's what the Gaines did. They kind of took shiplap, which is sort of this like sort of, you know, farm, sort of this farm influenced, you know, you know,
like function, fashion, you know,
functionality like thing. They turned it into a fashionable thing. And so, they really did it. And, you know, I think, dude, you know, give it a decade and you're going to look back and go, remember all that shiplap we use? Yeah, I'm tearing mine down. Like just, I'm tearing down all my wallpaper. You're going to be tearing down your shiplap and putting something
else. That was my next question. Like what's the shelf life here on shiplap? Like how many more years are we looking at before this is over?
Well, you can do different things with shiplap, but when you get into the trendier aspects of like barn doors and stuff, that's for sure.
Oh, that's over in 4 years, I think.
That might already be over.
Dude, what's next, man? What's the next movement going to be? Because I'm not going to lie to you, Ron, and we'll wrap the show with this. I don't want to bore people, but watching Downton Abbey, I really was drawn to some of the wallpaper. Could wallpaper be making a comeback anytime soon? That's my question.
No, it has made a comeback. It made a comeback a couple of years ago, but not in the way that you see. Not the big dark. You know, expressive Victorian style wallpaper, but a more subtle wallpaper is back. It's cool again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it needs to be kind of subtle. Yeah.
I want the I want the space age stainless steel to come back, like the all that's stainless back, steel pipe. Kitchen.
That's back.
Oh yeah, those are you're dope. Pipe.
You just
I
what you
that.
Do is you put some shiplap in between the stainless is what you do. Yeah.
Mm.
It's good.
Kind of barn meets spaceship.
Well, right. It's kind of like it's modern, right? So it's like a utilitarian,
yeah,
right?
Like
so
Jetsons meets Little House on the Prairie.
It's like Commercial Kitchen meets Chip and Joanna, right?
This is what happens.
I'm not making it up, man.
This is what happens when you give white people a lot of time and money. This is the fruit of it.
This is what happens when you have a pastor on the podcast who pastors rural Ohio churches. You know, it's like
design pastor. Baby, there's your reality show, HGTV Design Pastor.
Yeah,
and it's you and Big M doing a half hour every week. Right,
the Renovation Reverend.
The Renovation Reverend. Oh, Pipe. Yeah, we're doing good TV work.
I just made you a lot of money, Ron.
A lot of money.
Dude, we want a piece of the action.
I want an envelope of cash for my wedding now.
Exactly. Absolutely.
In fact, that just paid for your wedding, Pipe. Don't worry about it. It's on me.
Awesome. Renovation Reverend. Well, boys, we've done what we always do on this program, and that we've created several more television programs for Ronald. We've learned about shiplap. We've talked about weddings. This has been a good episode. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Have you ever considered yourself a messenger? Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, or art to make, or perhaps businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andress, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. If you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform today or lifeaudio.com.